meeting's over, all I would like to welcome all the members back to the second session of the 10th legislature. Very sorry that one of our members is not here today, and hope he will be with us soon. Will the members please register for the presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
Thirty-nine present, one absent.
Members, please rise for a prayer by Chaplain Pastor W.D. Kirk, Glacier Valley Baptist Church.
O Lord, our God, our Creator and Redeemer, thank you for your love and your good gifts. This great land with its incomparable beauty, its abundant resources, and its great people. Thank you for this occasion. By your grace and by your mercy, we stand in the morning twilight, which bears in its womb a glorious day. Thank you for your light that will lighten our darkness along the way. Thank you for your wisdom and for your strength that will energize our frailties, our weakness, when long is the stay. Today, O God, we pray for your ministers of state, for Representative Carpenter. We pray that you would bless him and restore him to health. Grant unto each and to all an understanding heart to discern truth from error, the courage to follow truth each step of the way. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I move as sent to Representative Carpenter to excuse me call the House today and through Friday the 13th.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Representative Swanson?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that today's prayer be spread upon the journal.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Would the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the final supplement dated June 25, 1977.
Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal final supplement as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Members have guests to introduce to the chambers. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I have a special guest here today in Gallery B, the lady in my life, my wife, Diane.
Are there other guests for introduction? Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, during the interim, I had the good fortune to acquire an instant family, and I'd like to introduce them to you today, my sons Tim and Tyler.
Are there further guests for introduction? Not, are there any messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
It's a memorandum to Speaker Malone dated January 6, 1978. Subject, joint session. I have been advised that Don Young wishes to speak to the legislature on Monday, January 9, primarily regarding D2 land claims. Pursuant to our conversation, please consider this a request for a joint session January 9, 1978 at 2 p.m. for the purpose of hearing Congressman Young. If you concur, I would very much appreciate a message from you to be read into our journal on Monday. Signed, John L. Rader, President of the Senate. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bradley?
Mr. Speaker, then I don't have to make a formal motion for H.J.R. 43 to be not introduced.
No resolutions for introduction, Mr. Bradley.
Thank you.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills. Representative Miller?
Speaker, before we get into the introductions, perhaps I might refresh the memories of the members of what the procedure is on our first day. On this day only, it has been a practice of the House that additional members may sign on as co-sponsors on bills unless a member has indicated that he doesn't want any additional co-sponsors on his particular legislation. So therefore, today, we are asking the Chief Clerk to hold all of the bills that you'll hear read and introduced in a few minutes in her desk, on her desk or in the office for 45 minutes after we recess this session. Of course, we'll come back this afternoon, but I'm not talking about that time. That'll be the final adjournment. But after we recess for the morning, the clerk will hold all bills for 45 minutes unless you as a sponsor designate you don't want co-sponsors on your legislation. You can go to the clerk's office and sign on as co-sponsors for any bills that are read across the desk. I might announce at this time this afternoon, of course, we will be having a joint session. If members have legislation, additional legislation, that they would like to introduce today, that legislation should be placed in the basket on the clerk's office by 1 p.m. And if it's in there by 1 p.m., we will read it in during a very short business session following the joint session.
Introduction of bills.
House Bill number 553 by Phillips, an act relating to licensing of speech pathologists and audiologists and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services.
House Bill number 554 by Phillips, an act relating to obscene and sexually explicit material.
Judiciary.
House Bill number 555 by Osterbach, an act making a special appropriation for a study of Alaska's fisheries taxation law and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill number 556 by Swanson, an act relating to the Alaska Longevity Bonus and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
House Bill number 557 by Gardner, an act relating to employment preference for local residents and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Judiciary.
House Bill number 558 by Duncan and Miller, an act extending leaves of absence to certain temporary employees of the state.
Refer to the State Affairs and Finance Committees.
House Bill number 559 by Swanson, Bennett, Bradley, Brown, Carpenter, Dankworth, Freeman, Hayes, Lathine, McKinnon, Meekins, Parr, and Smith, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Interior Division, for delineation of the utility corridor and railroad right-of-way for extension of the Alaska Railroad and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill number 560 by Duncan and Miller, an act amending general requirements of state personnel rules to define temporary employment requirements.
State Affairs.
House Bill number 561 by Anderson, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Public Works for the construction of a health and family services center in the village of Kipnuk and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
House Bill number 562 by Duncan and Miller, an act extending the benefits of group insurance to certain temporary employees of the state and its political subdivisions and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
House Bill number 563 by Swanson, Bennett, Bradley, Brown, Carpenter, Cooper, Hayes, McKinnon, Malone, Carr, and Rode, an act relating to the location of connections and interchange facilities in certain pipelines and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
House Bill number 564 by Duncan and Miller, An act extending the benefits of the public employees retirement system to certain temporary employees of the state and its political subdivisions and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill number 565 by Duncan, and activating the eavesdropping.
Judiciary.
House Bill number 566 by Anderson, and activating the beaver trapping and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
House Bill number 567 by Miller, and activating the powers of the Legislative Council.
Judiciary.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, inasmuch as we don't have any citations for action by the body today, this might be a good day to explain how our new citation designation where members will remember that during the joint session we had on rules during the last session of the legislature, we created a new instrument, hopefully to cut out a lot of red tape and a lot of state expense, and that is for a document to recognize excellence, for a document to recognize and memorialize people or organizations, whatever, we created something called a citation. And during the interim, the Legislative Affairs Agency designed this citation. There's an example of it, if you haven't seen it, on the bulletin board just outside the door here. I think they've done an awfully nice job. It's state colors, blue with a big gold seal, and it's got blue ribbons and that thing hanging from it. The procedure for introducing a citation is very simple. It doesn't even have to go through the clerk's office. It can, if it's more convenient for you to drop the citation in the clerk's basket as you would a bill or another resolution, that's fine. But actually, it goes to the rules chairman, Mr. Cotton. So the clerk, in this case, if you drop it in the basket, that's fine. She'll just transfer it to the rules chairman's office. Or if you want to, just take the citation request down to the rules chairman. The rules chairman will then place it on the calendar, just as he would any other piece of legislation, the rules committee will. And it'll come up, it'll be noted on the calendar for the particular day that it comes up. A copy of the citation will be available on your desk. But it will not be, it will not go through all the red tape of having a number being engrossed in half a dozen places all over the state and take up space in the lieutenant governor's office and everything else. There will be one copy of all citations filed for the record up in the Legislative Affairs Agency. But if anybody has any questions on that, you can see me a little bit later.
There's no calendar for today. That brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? One item I'd like to mention now is that sometime in the next couple of days we'll be appointing a number of special committees. Some of those groups will be growing out of the interim work that was conducted. Those haven't all been sorted out as to which will be necessary and which are not. But we might be appointing the special committees at this time. Are there any special orders? Representative Uriel.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to privilege the floor.
Mr. Uriel, you have the floor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, in order to convince you and members of the majority party that the things that I and other members of the minority will do this year, I spent a lot of time to spread the rumor that I was a nonpartisan person to put you at ease and Mr. Miller at ease. And I know that's to convince you that whatever I say is really in your best interest. And I want you to know that the minority party is here, and after a nice summer of rest, we're ready to go to work. We're working as 15 members strong, and we're going to help you put an end to this session in considerably less than the rumored 300 days. And, we are available to serve in any capacity that you see fit, as chairman, for instance, of the committees that you will appoint tomorrow or the next day. We will be glad to serve in the majority position on various free commerce committees, because I know your members are very busy doing other things. But we are ready to serve, Mr. Speaker, and it's good to be back.
Thank you, Mr. Uriel. It's good to have the minority back with us again this year. Someplace over this last year, 1977, I must have missed something, because I never quite felt at ease with you in the position of minority leader. And certainly don't expect to feel that way this year, but I do look forward to working with you. figure recommendations regarding appointments to committees and pre-conference committees under advisement, of course. Representative Fonsi.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, pretty hard to follow Rick in his first day address, but I would like to be a little more serious and talk about a couple of pieces of legislation that I pre-filed, and I did not have a chance to contact all the members of the House. House Bill 559 is to return the funds to the Department of Transportation for the work on the railroad connection between Fairbanks and the Yukon border. Last year, the governor saw fit to redline most of that money out. And that's just to put that money back in and get the railroad back working. The other bill, and I did not, again, I did not have the opportunity to travel throughout with or talk with the members of the House, is to put the proper facilities and connections in the gas line at this time to make it mandatory. Morris Thompson told us in Fairbanks that he wanted to know, and the Elkin people wanted to know, what the state of Alaska was going to do with their royalty share of the gas. He said, we have to know because we have to design that line now. This piece of legislation would be a directive to design that line so that the state of Alaska could take its 1/8 royalty share of the gas out in Alaska. I think that this is probably one of the most important pieces of legislation to come before this legislature, because this is future Alaska or future economics in Alaska. Regardless of where that connection goes, if anywhere in Alaska where the petrochemical facilities will be built, this piece of legislation is the number one thing that has to be done. I would hope that every member of this House would join me in the authorization of this bill. Thank you.